Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Gimel. And yesterday we saw that there was a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about where is the makor for the Isser of Eivir Menachai and Basar Menachai. Now both agree that Eivir Menachai is from the pasuk of Basar Basada, is from the pasuk of Lo Tochal HaNefesh Ima Basar. And the machlokas is the gabi Basar Menachai. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Basar Menachai comes from a completely different pasuk. It is a subsection of Basar Sheyatzeh Chutzul Mechitzato, and therefore it's included under Basar Basada Trefa Lotochelo. According to Reish Lakish, the pasuk of Lotochal HaNefesh Ima Basar is an azara both for Eivir Menachai and for Basar Menachai. What we got into yesterday was the fascinating case. If you're talking about two separate animals, then there's no question. If you take a Eivir Menachai from one, and you take the other one, Basar Menachai, and there you would be in the same case, one might be a trefa and one might be an Eivir Menachai. We analyzed all of those cases. So if one is a trefa and one is a Eivir Menachai, everybody would agree. Eivir Menachai, that comes from the pasuk of Basar Basada, of Lo Tochal HaNefesh Ima Basar. And the Basar of the trefa comes from the pasuk of Basar Basada trefa. So that's for sure. There's no machlokas. Then we found yesterday there is a machloket, however, in a case where it's one animal. So you took Eivir Menachai from an animal that was treif. And over there, for some reason, we said that Reish Lakish would say that you are only chayev one, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, you'd be chayev two. So the question is today, we're up to the words, b'veima achat b'may plige. So what exactly is the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish if they agree completely on the makor of the issue, both for Eivir Menachai and for Treifas? What are they arguing about? Well, I'll tell you why Reish Lakish would say you're only chayev one. Imagine a case where shenitrufay mitziat ruba, the animal is being born, and in the process of being born, it rips out in a bad leda, it rips the tzomes hagidim, let's say. Something happens to it that creates a trefa at the moment that it's actually coming out, b'sha'at leda. So that means what? According to Rabbi Yochanan, it means that the very same moment that this behema became an Eivir Menachai, it also became a trefa. Why is that? Because Rabbi Yochanan holds that the moment that the animal is born, it is already, his shita is not like Rebbe, it's like Rebbe Lazar, and therefore a behema is immediately seen as a conglomeration of separate parts, each one of which is an Eivir Menachai. So according to him, it was called an Eivir Menachai at exactly the moment that was Yotze Rubo, and it suffered the injury that turned it into a trefa, which means that it is an Isur Bevatachat. And Isur Chal al Isur, if it's Bevatachat. So Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, that means Isur Trefa, Isur Eivir came in at the very same moment, and Isur Chal al Isur. Masha Inkin, Reish Lakish may hold that behema b'chayeh alav le'evorim omedet, that as long as you have an integral whole organism, you don't have Eivir Menachai. So he would hold like Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon. And therefore, the Isser of Eivir Menachai only was chal later. But how would the Isser of Eivir Menachai be chal on the pre-existing Isser of Trefet? And therefore, says Reish Lakish, if behema b'chayeh alav le'evorim omedet, then the Isser of Eivir cannot find a place to be chal when the Isser of Trefa is already chal. So that explains why I hold you'll only be chayev one, not because of the mikorot of the Isser, but rather because there's no mokum for the chalota Isser. That's explanation number one. Want me to give you another explanation? Says a buyer. I mean, there's so many ways of understanding this. I mean, we don't really have enough information to know who holds what, but I mean, that's a very valid explanation. Now, give me another explanation. Maybe everybody agrees that a behemah b'chayah lav la'evarim omedet. And the question over here is not whether it's chal at one point. The question is whether Rabbi Yochanan perhaps holds that Isser's chal al Isser. So then the only question would be directly, is the Isser of Avram and Achai going to be chal on the Isser of Trefa Kamiflagay? Straight out. So apparently Rabbi Yochanan holds Isser chal al Isser. And the Isser Aver can come and be chayal on the Isser Trefa. Reish Lakish says, no, this is an Isser Chalal Isser, was not Bevat Achad, and therefore why should it be Aser? So lo at the Isser Aver chayal on Isser Trefa, because the first thing that happened to it was the Isser Trefa. Okay? Want me to give you another explanation? I got lots of explanations, says it, but let me try another one. Here's another explanation, okay? Maybe everybody agrees that Behema Bechaya is Levar moment. And what happened over here is that the moment that it was born, it became Usher because of Aver Menachai. And the case over here was where it only became a Trefa through an accident later in life, not at birth, okay? So in that case, if it was Nitrofali Achar Mikain, the question is the other way around. Will the Isser of Trefa be chal on the earlier Isser of Avram and Achai? Maybe that's the Machlokas. So again, I'm suggesting that Rabbi Yochanan holds Isser chal al Isser, Reish Lakish holds Isser chal al Isser. And I mean, all of these are equally probable in terms of how to understand this Machlokas. Rava said, well, I got a cuter explanation than you, Abaye. My explanation is that what you did to create the Aver Min Achai is you tore off a leg, and in doing so, you ripped the Tzomet Hagidim, and you made it a Trefa and an Aver Min Achai at exactly the same moment. Now, I hold that the Behema, when it's alive, it is not Omedet Levarim. And that means that the instant that I ripped off its leg and created the Trarfis of Tzomet Hagidim was the instant that it became an Isser Aver. So, therefore, it's Bevat Achat. And therefore, Isser Aver v'Isser Trefa is Chal Bahari Adadi and Isser Chal Al Isser if it's Bevat Achat. Mashen Ken Reish Lakish says, no, I hold that Rav Elazar ben Reb Shimon. And therefore, I hold that a behema immediately, b'chaya, is l'evar momedet, in which case it was already usher as an evar menachai as soon as it was born. And later on, when it becomes a trefa, it is not going to be chal on the iser evar, which, if you think about it, means that you can never, la iser trefa chal iser evar, according to Reish Lakish, nothing can ever be a trefa, because it's already an evar menachai. So then how does it become a trefa when it's nitraf if ein iser chal al iser? So ein achinami. What Reish Lakish would have to hold, unbelievably, is that it only becomes a trefa in terms of the iser trefa after it is no longer alive and therefore is no longer an Avram and Achai. So at that moment, the iser trefa is chal on it, but up until that moment, it had no place to be chal. Interesting. Okay, very good. Amr b'chia barava, Amr b'yochanu. Now, I've got another interesting combination of Isurim. I want to see how you're going to handle this one. So, b'chia barava says that what I heard from Rabbi Yochanan, something very strange. If you ate chalev, and you had pulled this chalev out of a living animal, so you ate chalev min achai, and it was not only a living animal, it was a trefa. You would be chayev two malkiot. Now, that's very strange because there's three separate isurin here. There's the isur trefa, there's the isur chalev, and then there's the isur veimer menachai because you took the chalev out of a living animal. And he didn't explain which two, but he said two, and we have to look into it, try to figure out which two he's talking about. And of course, Rabbi Ami came and said, well, that doesn't make any sense. you should say that Rabbi Yochanan held that you're chayav three different malchus. That's the way I was taught. Ani omer, I learned from Rabbi Yochanan, the way I recall, it was three. And in fact, we heard from Rabbi Abo the same thing, that it was three. Omer Rabbi Abo, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Everybody's quoting Rabbi Yochanan over here. That if you were ocha chelem v'nachay min atreifa, you would actually be chayav shalosh. I mean, that makes sense. There are three surim over here. So how do we work it out that there is a shita in according to which Rabbi Yochanan would only have been mechayev two? What would possibly be the actual event that would have meant only two isurim out of the three would be chal? So by my kamiflage, well, let's see. We could say that the case is that the treifas was instantly upon birth. Like we said before, there was a problematic birth. The animal became a treifa as it emerged from the birth canal. And the treifa was chal at that moment, and therefore the machloket is like this. The version of Rabbi Yochanan, which was said at the end over here by Rabbi Avo and by Rabbi Ami, they say you're chayav three. Why are you chayav three? Because they hold that the instant that it was born, it was already la'evari momedet, like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. And therefore, there was an iser of Avram and Achai, but there was also an iser of Chelev that came at birth, because before that, the animal could have been, the mother could have been shechted, and that would have meant that the Chelev was kosher to eat, so clearly didn't have a din of Chelev yet until it was born. And it became a treif at the same moment, which means all three Isurim were all Chal Bevat Achat. If Beima B'chayel Levar Momedet, so you have Isser Chelev, Isser Avram and Achai, and Isser Treifa, is all instantaneously and simultaneously Chal, at the moment of birth. In which case, it's all Bevat Achat. You can't say there's going to be one Isser more than any other Isser. Masha Enki, the way Reb Chiya Bar Abba said, is that Rabbi Yochanan holds there's only two. Which two? I'll tell you. If you hold like Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan, Mandi Omer Shtayim, so you'd have to say that he holds at the moment of birth there is no Isser of Avram and Achai. Why not? Because he would hold like Rabbi, that Behema Bechaya Lav Le'Evarim Omedet, and there's not yet an Isser of Avram and Achai. There's only the Isser of Chelev and the Isser of Treifa that is simultaneous. And the Isser Aver later, when you pull off the a piece of it, is not going to be Chal on something which is already Usered for two other reasons. And therefore, when he said you're only Chayev on two out of three, he meant to exclude Reb Chiya Bar Abba and Reb Yochanan. He meant to exclude the Isser Avram and Achai, which is not going to be Chal on the previous Isurian of the Chelev and of the Treif. Okay, that's one possibility. I'll give you another possibility. V'Bayit Ema is another way in which we could understand that Rabbi Yochanan would have, at least he's claiming, would have said that you're only Chayav two. Maybe everybody agrees that Behema Bechaya Lav La'Evarim Omedet, and therefore the question is over here, between the two shitas of Rabbi Yochanan, the question is whether the Isser of Aver Min Achai, which would appear only later, could that have been Chal on the Isser of Chelev and on the Isser of Treifa? That's the machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan, the way Rabbi Avo was learning, and the way Rabbi Ami was learning, there were three separate Isurim. Rabbi Yochanan holds Isser Chal al Isser, like we said before, maybe. And actually, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba holds that Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Isser Chal al Isser, and therefore wouldn't be Chal. So therefore, there would be no way for the Isser of Avram and Achai to subsequently be Chal on the Tarfus and Chelev that was immediately Chal on birth. So therefore, there would be no room for the Isser of Avram and Achai. That's my second explanation. I'll give you another explanation. Here's my third explanation. Vibhaydema, maybe everybody agrees with Rabbi Elazar Perp Shimon that Behema Bechaya is Omedet Leivorin, in which case, instantly upon birth, there were two Isurim. There was Chelev and there was Avram and Achai. But maybe the case is that the Treifus happened a couple of months later, and Kegon Shenitru Fali Achar Mikan, and therefore the question is, can the Isur Treifa be Chal on the Isur of Avram and Achai? That would be the other way of looking at it. So Rabami, he holds that Rabbi Yochanan says, Isur Chal al Isur, and therefore we can now have the Treifa also be Chal. And here I'm saying this suggestion as a not just a variation on a theme, but I'm going to give you a good reason why it is that we would say that the Isser of Treifas would be Chal on an Isser Avram and Achai. Because look, there is a special pasuk that is very, very confusing. And it has to do with the din of Chelev. Because basically, the pasuk reads it reads totally weird. It says, V'chelev nivela, v'chelev treifa, yaseh l'chol malacha. Okay, from there I learn it's not metame if it's the chelev anivela. That makes perfectly good sense. But look at these next words. It's crazy. V'alchol lo tochlu, but don't eat it. Don't eat it. Well, obviously, don't eat it. I mean, you already told me I'm not allowed to eat it. I mean, it said, kol chelev v'chol dam lo tochelu. What did I think? That because it's an avela and a treifa, I could eat it? I mean, what kind of pasuk is this? Of course I'm not going to eat it. Well, you think just because you tell me that it's not metame, so therefore I would think now I'm allowed to eat it? Therefore, what we learn from here is something amazing. The iser of a chol lo tochluhu is a special din in which the Torah is saying, let the iser nevela or the iser treifa come and be chal over and above the Isur Chelev. So it's coming to tell me you're still going to be over both Isurim, even though this is a nevela of a treifa, chol lo tochluhu, despite the fact that it was Chelev. There's still going to be an Isur of nevela of a treifa on the pre-existing Isur of Chelev. And since the pasuk specifically said that Yavo Isur nevela v'yachol al Isur Chelev, and Yavo Isur treifa, and Yachul al Isur Chelev. So once the Torah used that special din of a cholo tochluhu, it meant to say, do not apply the concept of Ein Isur Chal al Isur here. I'm telling you that it's going to be chayev for both. So that's the machlokas. In the same way that we learned by Chelev, we know that by Chelev, an Isur of Treifa was Chal on Chelev. So then, and the same thing would be true, perhaps, on the din over here on Avram and Achai. What's the difference? If the Torah said that the Keach of Treifas is to be Chal even on Chelev, so then it would also be Chal on the Isur of Avram and Achai, which would give me essentially three Isurim. Basha'enkein, Reb Chiya Bar Abba says, no, Rabbi Yochanan did not believe that because Rabbi Yochanan was mechalek between the Isur Chal al Isur of Treifa on Chelev versus the Isur Chal al Isur of Treifa on Avram and Achai. And it was only on Chelev Udechayel. The Torah was only telling me that the Isur Treifa and Nevela can be Chal on the Isur Chelev. It never said anything about being Chal on Avram and Achai. So you'll ask me, well, what's the difference? I mean, it's telling me that the Isur Treifa is strong enough to be Chal on other Isurim. Not true. It only said on Chelev because Chelev is very different than Avram and Achai. Avram and Achai, is it Usher if it's a Chaya? Yes. Is Avram and Achai Usher? Is the Chelev Usher if it's a Chaya? No. Aha. So therefore, Chelev is not a very strong and prominent Isser now, is it? It doesn't apply to Chayot. So it's basically Huter Michlalo. There's places where there is no Chelev. Masha'inkein, is Avram and Achai ever Huter Michlalo? No. And therefore, it's a stronger, more pervasive iser. And the Torah never said. I don't see where the Torah said that nevela trefa should be chal. I only saw it should be chal on chalev, which is a weak iser. But I'm not ready to say that it would be chal on aver min hachai. So therefore, it would be the chalev is we're talking about the chalev was also before as aver min hachai. The trefas will not be chal on it. So that means the way that we're explaining it now is a little bit different because Reb Chiya bar Abba, who says you're only chai of two, the two are for chalev and for aver min hachai. Before we said the two are for chalev and trefa, and the iser of aver min hachai wouldn't be chal afterwards. So it's not the same two, but the point is, I've got three explanations of why it is that Reb Chiya bar Abba would have left out one of the Isurim. Which one of the Isurim depends on the explanation. Either he would have left out the Aver min hachai, or he would have left out the Trefa, depending on the case. Now, getting back to the actual Isur Achila of an Aver min hachai. So when Rav Dini came along from Eretz Yisrael to Bava, he said that back in Eretz Yisrael, Reish Lakish asked a brilliant abaya from Rabbi Yochanan. He asked, let's say that you had, in fact, your Aver min hachai, you tore it into two parts, or if it was a gezayit from an Aver min hachai, you tore it into two parts. First you eat one, and then you eat the other. Now there's two different ways of understanding the question that we're about to raise. And in order to keep life easy, we never discussed this problem before. We only mentioned the sheet of Rashi and the sheet of the Rambam in defining the Aver min hachai. However, Tosfos disagrees. According to Tosfos, the din of Aver min hachai is a din in Birya. And therefore, the halacha of eating a kizayit is not true. It's only if you eat the entire Aver min hachai. Once you cut it up, now it would not be considered a kizayit from an Aver min hachai. It has to be an Aver. And when cut up, it's not an Aver. Now, the Rambam didn't know that. The Rambam said once you detach something as an Aver, if you eat a kezayit of basar ginim v'atzomais, then you're still eating a kezayis of an aver min hachai. So depending on what, and that's how Rashi was learning. So depending on who you're learning with, the question is slightly different. But in either event, it's a brilliant question. And the question is essentially this. What Reish Lakish is pointing out is that aver min hachai is abnormal. It's not standard achila. Because when you're eating an Aver min hachai, you are only going to be chayek if there are gidim and atzamot, which are normally not considered to be foodstuffs. If you would eat atzamot from something, it's not going to be mechayek you as if you ate the basar. But when it comes to Aver min hachai, it is actually, as we've said again and again, Reb Nachman pointed out, that you can have a mashu basar, and the whole thing could be essentially ginim v'atzamot, and you would be chayev because of the aver, not because of the normal dinim of achila. So what Reish Lakish wanted to know is, if the normal dinim of achila do not apply to an aver min hachai, so how much do they not apply to aver min hachai? Let's say normally when we talk about achila, so we talk about achila b'chtei achilat pras, right? You know, if you take a little piece of the iser, you chew it and eat it, and then you take another little piece, and you chew it and eat it, and it's within the amount of time of achilat pras. So as long as you ate a kizayis bechtei achilas pras, that is the technical definition of the concept of achila in the halacha. But obviously, this is not standard achila. Does the din of tziruf of achila betoch kedei achilas pras apply to a non-standard achila, Or is the act of achila in this case the one-time eating of eva menachai? Once you broke it up and you're going to eat it in two separate stages, there's no shiruf tziruf. Where would the tziruf come from? You did not eat a kezayit of eva menachai, period. Or if the question is the birya, according to Tosfos, you did not eat the birya of eva menachai, period. I don't care if in the end it was consumed. I care about whether it fits the technical definition of this brand new type of achila that is applicable to this specific case of eva menachai. That is a brilliant question. Is achila of eva menachai included in the normal concepts of achila? So therefore, Reb Shimon ben Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, suppose chilko mibachutz, suppose you split your kezayas, or according to Tosfos, you split your birya into two pieces outside of your mouth, and then you chew them separately. What would be the din? Amar leis, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, well, the din would be that you're putter, because this is not considered to be one achila. You have to swallow the whole thing. Let's see if it's literally swallow, but you have to eat the whole thing at once. Okay, says Reish Lakish, I hear you. How about if he puts it into his mouth all in one piece, and now he's chewing it in his mouth? So before he swallows it, he chews it. But if he chews it, it's no longer a complete aver, or no longer a complete shear of a kezayit that you're swallowing all at one moment. So is that also putter? And that would mean that whenever you eat an eva menachai, if you chewed it, you're not going to be chayim. So mibifnim mai. Oh, said Rabbi Yochanan, if it's in your mouth, then you would be chayim. Because Rabbi Yochanan holds that eating does not mean swallowing something at one moment. Eating means the pleasure of eating, which is the actual chewing instant before swallowing. And therefore, if you chew the whole kezayit, that is the eating even before you swallow it into your stomach. And therefore, you would be chayit. And that was one approach that we heard from Rav Dimi. But then when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, no, that was, he got it all wrong. That Rav Dimi got it wrong. The question that was raised by Reish Lakish was this: chilko mi bachutz, and then he ate it. What would be the din? So, okay, it would be putter, as you said before. But the second part you got wrong. The second part, actually, you got the first thing right, which is that Rabbi Yochanan said, well, if it's in your mouth, you'd be chayim. But what he didn't tell you was that Reish Lakish said, I disagree, and I hold even inside your mouth you're going to be putter. And what would the machlokas revolve around? Rabbi Yochanan would say, you're chayim. Why is that? Because Rabbi Yochanan defines achila as hana'at gironot. The point is that just as you are about to swallow something, that is the moment where the full sense of taste and the joy of satiation in the food is at its height. The actual swallowing is an afterthought. And therefore, the real hana'ah of achila that the Torah answered is hana'at grono. And he got that hana'at grono from a full kezayit at one time, and that is what it means to eat. And therefore, you would be chayiv even though you chewed it. Reish Lakish says, no. Eating means getting food into your stomach. And therefore, if you never got that full kezayit into your stomach, you need all that kezayit to go down into your stomach. And there's no way that that could happen. If you've been chewing it, there's pieces that are going to be left between your teeth that are going to be stuck to your gums. And if you had a specific exact kezayis and you chewed it, you're never going to get that kezayit all at one time into your tummy. And that one act of swallowing is the fact of achila, nothing else. And it stands, according to Reish Lakish, how would you ever be chayiv? Because, I mean, people always swallow only after chewing. And if they're chewing, there's going to be stuff that's left all around your mouth. You're not going to swallow the whole kazayas at once, are you? Omer of Kana, yeah, you are. Maybe a grumita zirata. That delicious Italian grumita zirata, which only a grume would be eating. And that is a particular little bone, which is the size of a kazayit, and it doesn't have enough meat on it that makes it worth chewing. And it is the delicacy that you swallow all at once. And that's on the actual bone by the kaf that we had before on the Gidanash. And there's yet another sheet. Rabbi Elazar Omer, I know what she's all about. I say it's normal achila. And even if you split it into two parts outside of your mouth, I don't know why Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are agreeing that in that case it would not be considered a full achila. There's no such thing. All achila is the same. And what, the fact that it's not all stuck together, that means it's like mechusa the mice of achila? Where'd that come from? Mechusar kreva, not being able to put these two pieces next to each other? That's going to be called Bechusar Maisa, that it doesn't have a din of achila? I mean, where would that come from? And therefore, it's not the same as a case of a question whether we would say, is there a shear of Bechte Achilas Pras? If somebody was brought a half a kezayah, and then he was brought another half a kezayah, fine, there you can ask whether this is a Bechte Achilas Pras, but you're holding the two pieces in your hands, or they're right there in your mouth. I mean, I don't understand why. So what makes it two separate pieces? This is all one act of achila, and the fact that it happens not to be right up against the other piece, and there's a centimeter between them, maybe a millimeter between them, maybe a micron between them, I don't know. Well, what's the difference? This is basically what achila means. Now, there's a norma general machloket. Forget about Avram and Achai for a moment, because this issue raises another question. When the Torah asks eating a kezayit, does it literally mean you take a kezayit? Let's say you could take a kezayit and nevela. So would you be chayiv on eating that kezayit? Or actually, you're never going to end up eating that kezayit because you've got so much that's stuck between your teeth, stuck between your gums. I mean, so the kezayit is not really a practical shear unless it's a kezayit plus, which would include the normal parts that you're not going to be able to swallow. So that's a general question. Benogeo Ali Suri. So Omar Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish. When we talk about a kezayit all over, and the shear of a kezayit is what's b'chayit, that kezayit means that you actually eat a kezayit. But if you've got stuff stuck between your teeth that you never swallow, that would not be called a part of that kezayit. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even if it's between your teeth, it would be called a kezayit because you tasted it. Omer of Papa, no, that's not quite true. You said it over wrong. Because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold a kezayis between your teeth. Between your teeth, you don't get any pleasure from it. So Bishal Ben Shinai, Rabbi Yochanan never said that a piece of meat stuck between your teeth is a pleasure. It's not a pleasure. It takes you to the dentist's office. So Bishal Ben Shinai, kule amalo plige, that's not called achila. But the accurate reporting of this machlokas is meat or food that would be stuck bein hachanichayim. So it's stuck over here between your gums, on your palate, whatever. There, Rabbi Yochanan says, if it's close to being swallowed, so that's called ne'ne. And therefore, the definition of enjoying your food is ne'ne grono, and that is achila. The Torah is not interested in having the food in your tummy for achila because your tummy is not part of anything that you are actually aware of directly and is significant to you. And because of that, when we talk about achila, it's like all other things in halacha. We talk about the sensations, that which is sensual is that which is halacha. Anything that's not visible and not sensual is not nugei halacha, and therefore, achila has nothing to do with your tummy. Whereas Rish Lakish says, no, the point of achila is the satiation that's available in your tummy. And therefore, achila b'me'av b'inan, says Rish Lakish, it means swallowing food. And if you didn't swallow it, I don't care whether you're enjoying the taste. The bottom line is, you never swallowed it. Omer Vasi, Omer Yochanan, well, this has very profound implications. Let's say you ate a chatzi zayit and you spit it up, and then you eat another chatzi zayit. Since, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we don't care how much food is in your tummy, you actually ended up eating a kezayit because you enjoyed eating a kezayit. I don't care whether the kezayit was in your tummy all at one time or not. It doesn't bother me because hare nehenag yiro no bechezayit. You enjoyed eating a kezayit. The fact that you happened to spit up the first chatzi zayit, why would that change your enjoyment of your next achila? Asks Rabbi Elazar from Rabbi Asi, but wait a minute. According to this, what would be if you ate a chatzi zayit, coughed it up, and then ate it again? Did you eat an entire kezayit? Chazar ve'achalo, what would be the din? Well, what exactly is he asking? I don't quite understand. Is he asking whether something once swallowed is considered essentially to be digested and therefore it doesn't have a din of food? It just has a din of tzara and it's just garbage? So is that his question? He have a equal, he lo have a equal. I mean, so then why was he talking about chatzi zeisim? And that question is the same if he ate a kezayit. You ate a kezayit, spit the kezayit out, somehow disgorged it, and then you ate it again. Would you be chayev the second time if you got a hatra'ah, don't eat that? And that would be the question of whether it's considered to be digested food or it's considered still to be food as long as it hadn't actually been digested. So why would he have confused the issue by talking about a chatzi zayit? So that can't be what Rebbe Elazar was asking. Nope. Okay, maybe what Rebbe Elazar was asking is exactly the question that we raised over here. Do we define eating by what's in your tummy, or do we define eating by what's in your throat? Oh, well, okay, that was the machlokas that we just had. So he wanted to know whether batar grono azlinan or batar me'av azlinan. So Rebbe Elazar understood that you can't be digested, because otherwise there's nothing even to discuss. But my question over here is eating the same chatzi zayit twice, in which case you got the pleasure of the eating twice, would that be the actual din of achila or not? But why would he have asked that? Because, I mean, he would have known that directly from what Rav Asi just said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Asi said, that's how the whole thing started. Ochal chatzi zayit ve'hekio, and then he ate another chatzi zayit, his chayev, even though he never had a full kezayit in his tummy. So I don't understand. He said you're chayev. So what is he asking? All the information he knows. He obviously knows that it's not considered to be digested, because otherwise the whole discussion is completely ridiculous. So that's not his question. He's talking about Rav Asi, and Rav Asi just said to Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that if you ate another chatzi zayin, that you would be chayev because it goes according to your throat and not according to your tummy. So he knows that also. So what's the confusion over here about asking if it's the same kezayit? I don't get it. That follows just naturally from what you already know in Rav Asi. So Tifshat Lemini Rav Asi. You should have learned that directly from Rav Asi's quote of Rabbi Yochanan. Now, you don't understand what happened over here. Rav Elazar didn't have that question. That question was a red herring. And that's the only issue, whether you're usher and eating a half of a red herring or not. Because what it was that Rav Asi, what happened over here, is that Rav Asi had clearly forgotten his own words. And Rabbi Elazar felt terrible. He didn't want to tell him. So he wanted to hint to him that he should try to remember. So what happened was that Rabbi Asi had forgotten his own learning that he originally had said from Rabbi Yochanan. Because what he had originally said from Rabbi Yochanan was, even if you ate the same kezayit twice, you would be chayev, the same chatzi zayit twice, you would be chayev, because it all goes according to your taste buds, or I should say your throat, but not according to your tummy. But Rav Asi forgot. And what Rav Asi said over Rabbi Yochanan was only half of the story. Because what Rav Asi said is, if you ate a chatzi zayit, and then you ate another chatzi zayit, but it doesn't have to be another chatzi zayit. It could be even the same chatzi zayit, since we already saw that it's not considered to be equal. And he felt terrible that Rav Asi was getting old and was having troubles with his memory. He didn't want to tell him, you're forgetting what you said. So he asked the question thinking that that would jiggle his memory. And then he would think it out and he would say, oh, obviously it should be the same thing. And so Rav Asi Gemari Akile, he forgot what he had originally said. And then Rav Elazar was coming to politely remind him. So Ati Rav Elazar Lat Kure. So what Rav Elazar was essentially saying to him was, Rav Asi, Lomali Chatzi Zayit Acher, why did you have to postulate a case in which somebody brought him another Chatzi Zayit? Could be the same exact Chatzi Zayit. Lema marbiti day. Talk about a case where he spit up that first chatzi zayit and immediately re-eats it. That way you'd be telling us a bigger chiddush. You'd be telling us two things. First of all, you'd be telling us that spitting up something that was just swallowed is not called digested, so it's lo havi ikul. And then you would also have taught us a very important din that it all goes according to hana at grono, and it doesn't go according to hana at tamis. And not hana'at me'av. So why did you not think of that? And unfortunately, Rav Asi's memory was not shigul, and he remained confused. Ishtik, v'lomar le'vlomide, he didn't respond to Rav Elazar's kind attempt to remind him. At which point, Amar Le, Rav Elazar said, Me'feis hator! You are an absolute miracle. You're such a genius. You always get everything right. Who am I to even remind you? Don't you remember Zimnin Sagin Amart Kameda Rabbi Yochanan? You know how many times you said in front of Rabbi Yochanan exactly what you said today, but you said it was the same piece. And Rabbi Yochanan said, yes, indeedy. What's the difference if it's a different piece or the same piece? Hare nehene girono b'chizayit. And that's what really counts when it comes all down to it, as our very own Richie will testify. That's what's called a good piece of lux. And Hadron Aloch Gid Anasher. Wow.